ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Why did Matthew Flinders write such saucy letters to his best friend, George Bass?
Who really chopped off Chopper's ears?
And why did they name a swimming pool after an Australian Prime Minister who drowned?
I mean, why didn't they just use Harry Holt's high school nickname, Puss? These are the kind of historical questions we'll be asking on The Dead Can't Sue.
Search The Dead Can't Sue podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It was dubbed a landmark speech on how the government will deal with the rapid expansion of artificial intelligence. But did Anthony Albanese really address the key concerns as the big tech giants move to expand their businesses and train their AI models here? Today, Kimberly Wetherill, an expert in regulating AI from Sydney Uni, on how proposed new laws just touch the surface. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. You were in the room when Anthony Albanese delivered this AI vision. Just tell me, how significant do you think it was? Would you describe it as a pivotal moment?
I would certainly describe it as a pivot, if that helps. I think up till now, the Australian government has taken a bit of a hands-off approach to thinking about AI. They've largely left it in the hands of individual ministers to deal with their individual areas. What the Prime Minister was signalling in today's speech in some ways was elevating it to the level of, actually, no, this is a national issue. Mm. It's a national issue requiring coordination, not only within the federal government across ministries, but also between the federal government and state governments, which is something we haven't heard up till now.
If we hang back or stand still, this will just run right over the top of us.
The level of detail we got in today's speech was perhaps, you know, less significant, less detailed, but the step up in terms of realising this is important, putting it on the front page, asserting Australian interest and Australian values, like, yes, that is a shift.
The Prime Minister, he was saying that we want to approach AI in an Australian way with, as you say, Australian values. So there were some pretty broad statements in this speech, wasn't
there? Very much so. Yes, there were. There was a lot of really, really good sounding phrases and good sounding ideas, and the assertion of Australian values is really important. It was a bit light on how we're going to achieve some of those things.
We have the advantage of geography. The expansion of AI requires a physical material footprint. It needs our land and energy and computing power to operate. That means we can set the terms, we can determine AI's social license, but we have to do it now.
All right, well, let's, Kimberly, get to the details of this new AI policy in a moment. But just to be clear, the Prime Minister, he wants the big AI tech giants to invest here in Australia. That was pretty clear in this speech, wasn't it?
That was very clear.
Yeah,
that was very clear. They're very affirmative that we need to be part of this and that we want that investment, particularly from the bigger frontier companies, yes.
Yeah, well, central to the Prime Minister's plan is to establish an Office of AI that will operate within the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet that will apply Australian standards to AI. But of course, AI crosses international borders. So what does he actually mean by that, do you think?
Well, there's the million-dollar question. I don't know yet. You know, I'll be honest, I don't know yet because there wasn't a lot of detail about that. Mm. It was clear, you know, there was a bit more detail when he talked about, you know, the standards that need to apply, for example, in the building of the big data centres, mm, which, of course, as we know, is one of the interests of the frontier companies right now. It's, you know, that building of the large data centres for, you know, potentially training and other activities. You know, and he talked about some reasonably specific standards there. He talked about energy, he talked about water, he talked about not competing with land for housing.
We'll create a legal obligation for the next generation of large-scale data centres to underwrite new power supply. to pay their full share of grid connection so no costs are passed on to homes or businesses, and to put at least as much energy into our grid as they take out of it.
When it came to other questions, so, you know, questions, for example, that we were dealing with a couple of years ago when we talked about mandatory guardrails, you know, making sure that things are fair, that people aren't discriminated against, that they can understand decisions that are made about them, that there's, you know, a degree of transparency about what is going on, safety standards, those sorts of questions. It wasn't clear to me how much of that was being comprehended in this concept of AI standards. We need to hear more detail about what's really being contemplated by this idea of, you know, embedding Australian values beyond the kind of detail we did get around the data centre question.
Yeah, as you say, just more detail on the data centres, that there will be laws, there will be rules, as you say, in regards to energy use, water use. They'll go before the states and territories, and then the Prime Minister hopes they'll come before the Parliament next year. But clearly he thinks we've got a lot of space for these data centres. It's not like he doesn't want them here.
Oh, no, he certainly wants them here. He sees this as an opportunity for Australia. I mean, it's worth noting that there were other comments being made in the speech about the desire for, you know, building here, developing here, you know, having local capability. You know, what we're seeing a lot of countries around the world do is not tie all of their eggs into frontier AI model baskets, but also look at, well, how do we make sure that we're also, you know, building local alternatives, local capacity. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of work being done right now around smaller models, local models, specialist models. And so, you know, there's some open questions, I think, that I didn't hear anything about in the speech, really, beyond that sort of general aspiration that Australians will build, but it wasn't clear where that was. And, you know, we didn't hear, for example, you know, plans for some big investment of Australian resources. It still sounded in the speech like the expectation is that investment is going to come from outside.
And, of course, copyright, it's been a huge issue. The AI companies say the copyright laws that were written in 1968 are one of the biggest hurdles to them making significant investment on Australian soil. But, of course, Australian artists say they want control of their own work and they really need strong protection. Now, in this speech, the PM said that the work of artists will be protected, and he said that will be spelled out as clear as day.
No company should use Australian books, music, art or news to build or train AI without the artist's control. And that includes the artist's control of the price and value of their work. Anything less is theft.
But what do you think he will do in that space? Because it is a barrier to the AI company setting up here, isn't it?
There are real challenges in this space. At the moment, there's a lot of activities that would happen in the context of building, training, using, deploying AI that implicate copyright law. We don't have a very modern copyright law. We haven't updated for questions around digital much. There's all sorts of challenges in the copyright law. It really does desperately need reform, and it is a barrier to AI development and local development. You know, but on the other hand, obviously, copyright is also important to creative industries. So, you know, there's all these questions around how do we make sure that creators' interests are being protected? How do we make sure that, you know, researchers can do what they do? And how do we kind of, I guess, work through the complexity and the polarisation that's very common in the copyright debate? You know, the Prime Minister didn't outline any details about that. We know from reporting this week that, you know, this has been put very squarely on the agenda of the Attorney General. The question is whether we'll be able to bring everyone to the table, because, as I said, this is a deeply, deeply challenging area to address.
Totally, very, very complicated. But, you know, according to reports, of course, the world's most valuable artificial intelligence company, Anthropic, it actually wants to train its Claude AI model here. It wants to do a $21 billion deal. But again, these copyright laws are a problem for it.
I don't know that I can outline for you right now, right this moment, what the perfect deal looks like. No. And I haven't been part of any negotiations that are going on. If Anthropic does a deal, like, you know, does a deal with who? There are ongoing negotiations. There are ongoing discussions. There's, you know, incentives on both sides to find some way to move forward in this space.
Yeah, all right, Kimberly, as you say, there's many questions that have gone unanswered after
so
this.
So many questions.
After this speech. I mean, as you say, we really just got some detail on data centres. But, you know, what do you think? What should be the minimum standards for the AI giants if they actually set up shop here? I mean, there's jobs, there's harmful content, as you say. All of those things haven't been addressed by the Prime Minister.
The jobs question, I think, I mean, there's obviously going to have to be action on all kinds of different levels, right? There's a whole lot of questions about working out where there is job loss, what sort of retraining, what sort of adjustment, how we can best skill current generations to be moving into this world. Like, you know, there's a whole lot of policy questions there. And to be fair to him again, the Prime Minister did touch on that at a very, very high level.
Now, we should not treat AI as a threat to good jobs. We must use it as an instrument to help create them. That is the task that we have. That is the responsibility, the challenge, and indeed the opportunity facing our country.
On the question of harmful content that you raised, there was a passing mention in the speech to something that we know the government has been working on around a digital duty of care. You know, the idea is putting positive obligations on companies that are operating in this digital space to, you know, identify the risks and the problems that are emerging on their systems and address them. There is work in that space. You know, I would have, as I said, liked to hear more about questions like access for, you know, public interest for research, public interest compute. You know, there are some questions about how, you know, when we're building these big data centres, we're ensuring that, you know, Australian companies, Australian governments, Australian researchers, Australian civil society also have access to AI at reasonable kinds of costs. One thing that I think the Prime Minister is alive to, which I think is at least as I heard the speech today, was that there is this sense that, you know, like, this is the time to have these discussions. You know, it is, if anything, beyond time for Australia to decide what kinds of standards it is going to expect, enforce, build in, negotiate with these kinds of companies. I think we're at a moment globally where people are looking for things to be done differently. They want AI to take account of human interests. They want it not to be operating harmfully. They don't want massively unsafe models just being launched into the world, you know, with little regard to the impact on people. Australia is in a really good position to have these discussions, and I really hope that everyone, you know, the frontier companies and, you know, the Australian government, state governments, like, get on board and really do this. There's a moment here where we could do something really great.
And we have had this week nearly 200 economists and tech leaders warning that AI could be radically more powerful over the next 10 years, and we really need to act now and be ready for that. I suppose we need to be nimble.
And if we don't deal with those challenges, societally and in terms of, like, living in a world we want to live in, we can't build the world we want to live in without having these discussions and making some of the hard decisions. And this could be a moment where we can really seriously have these discussions. You know, there's a whole lot of middle power countries, Canada, you know, and the like, UK and Singapore and Korea and Japan, who are all thinking about these same questions. You know, this could be a good moment to build in the kind of standards that will ensure ongoing respect for people and make sure we all make the transition in a way that we can all thrive. It takes an active approach and an active determination to do that.
Kimberly Wetherill is a law professor at the University of Sydney and co-director of the Centre for AI, Trust and Governance. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.